And I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 7 as we continue on our summer series on the Psalms. Psalm 7 is a meditation or a shigayath of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is any iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, or I have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the peoples shall surround you for their sakes. Therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. O, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end and establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death, and he makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked bring forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violence dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is this a song we can sing in 2022? You live, I live in the world of everything is offensive. Anything you say against somebody else is a hate crime. It's wrong. You may not say it. And they stifle anything. You cannot speak the truth in love anymore without somebody coming after you and accusing you of a crime or accusing you of a sin or accusing you of hatred. Which means that on some level that all these people would have a real difficulty with our God. And that's why even sometimes, you know, people ask, well, what are you ministers going to do? How are you going to say things? And you know, one of the things we need as pastors, and you need to pray for us, is that we would be very careful not to say, I think, or this is what it is, but thus says the Lord. It's one thing for us as pastors to be put in prison for something we said on our own behalf. And it's quite another then if we speak on behalf of the Lord. And I think that's true for all of us. Right is right because God says it's right. Wrong is wrong because God says it's wrong. It's just not that it makes better sense or that it's more logical, although that's all true. But it needs to be thus says the Lord. And we need to live more and more that way. Perhaps many generations without war, without real struggle in the Christian life here in North America, maybe has made us jaded to the fact that look, anybody who does not love God is against God. Anyone who is in government who doesn't love God is opposed to God. And even when they do some things which to us might seem politically okay or politically all right, even if it's being used for themselves, it's being used against God. And beloved, we need more and more to understand that these lines are being drawn. And then how do we pray? How do we represent the glorious and holy God as a holy people who glory in his name? And I think for some of us to cloud some things or to move some things, those of us who are older, I look at the younger generation, I think they are really going to have to take stands in ways that perhaps we didn't have to. And now we with them will have to stand up for the glory and the wonder of God. Because it's not just that they're opposed to God, they're opposed to his people. But then how do we deal with Psalm 7 and this call for God to bring down His righteous wrath upon the wicked? That God is angry with the wicked every day. And yet, fundamental to all of that is verse 7. So the congregation of the peoples of the earth shall surround you, and for their sake, therefore, return on high, the Lord shall judge the peoples. And that is a real reality. And that we say that almost every Sunday in the evening. I believe that Jesus Christ has ascended, is seated at the right hand of God, and He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. As we go right to the end of the Bible, to the end of Book of Revelation, we see that great judgment day that's going to happen. Some will be saved, but many will be judged and damned. And so the point really isn't so much for us to look down on those we disagree with, or even those who are opposed to us as enemies, but out of a love for God and a love for our neighbor to warn them of the dread and the horror that waits for them as not only the people of God. And maybe, you know, if you don't feel it all the time yourself, then start reading the Voice of the Martyrs. Start reading other papers where you can read about the persecution of our brothers and sisters around the world. Don't we want an end to a sinless or a sinful society? Don't we look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ where our brothers and sisters won't have to suffer anymore? And for us, the fight will be ended in glorious victory. The church sings the psalm of lament and praises God for His deliverance by His righteous judgment. First, we'll see David's plea, and this should be our plea, coupled with Christ's plea of innocence. Then we'll see the prayer for retribution, and then finally the predicament of sin. So Psalm 7 is a meditation, or a shigiah, something of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush a Benjamite. Now, we don't know who Cush is. It's the only time he's mentioned in all the Bible. But we do know something about the Benjamites. Saul was from there, and the Benjamites loved King Saul. And they were very opposed to David when he finally received the crown, and stood opposed to David through all of that time. Even when Absalom took up his protest against his father, they joined with him. So Cush may have either been someone with King Saul, or later Absalom, or maybe he was there the whole time. But the point is, he stood opposed to, was bringing false charges against, and was part of the persecution that was against David. And though David's world is rocked, though he is suffering indecent and improper slander, what does he say? O Yahweh, O great I am, my Elohim, creator of heaven and earth, who provides and takes care of everything, in you alone I put my trust. That's where he starts. And beloved, that's where you and I need to start. The devil's always knocking us off of our foundation. He's always trying to push us out of the refuge. He's always rattling us, shattering us, moving us in ways that we lose heart. And we need to start there every day. I trust in you, Lord God. You made the heavens and the earth. You take care of me. You send the rain. You send the bread. You give to us food and drink. Everything I need, my life and breath, is from you. And you control the whole universe. There's nothing that you can't take care of. So why would I not trust Him who says, I am your God, in those days through circumcision and in your days through baptism, and you are my people. And a Jesus who says, I will be with you even to the close of the age. Don't lose heart. I trust you, O Lord God. Save me from those who persecute me. And deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending in pieces, while there is none to deliver. Now, obviously, David is speaking poetically and metaphorically. But what's interesting here is that we really should understand that poetically and metaphorically in terms of David's reputation, in terms of David's name. And then I think this is where Psalm 7 hits many of you, right where you live. You've probably been watching the full fallout of Roe v. Wade in the United States. And for some reason, our Prime Minister needs to speak eloquently about, well, there's a place for an abortion in Canada. Our own Prime Minister said, there is no room in Canada for people like you or me who hold on to God's Word and says that life begins at conception. That we are considered those who are anti-freedom, anti-woman, anti-choice, anti-happiness. We are the ones who are the prudes, the stick in the muds, and we need to be silenced. Not only then are we supposed to just simply tolerate all of this sin, but the laws are coming and really are already here where we may not even speak up against these sins. We're the ones being persecuted. And why? Because they don't want to hear the voice of God. You think of Jesus talking to his disciples and he's getting ready to go to heaven and he says, they're going to hate you. But don't be surprised that they hate you because they hated me. And then, of course, he's going to cross and we're going to see that hatred. But you see, if they can come after your reputation, and I think more and more we need to see ourselves as a bigger group then, as not just Reformed Christians. We believe in the truth and the right of all of that. But there are many Bible-believing Christians standing with you that are suffering under this same malady. And it's not just here. It's all around the world. And they're going to try to shut down your Christian schools because they're bad. I have to laugh all the time because apparently Christians are always indoctrinating people. But the public school doesn't. The media doesn't. The government doesn't. Or is it just when they indoctrinate, it's okay, and when God's people indoctrinate, it's not okay? Beloved, we got to get our head out of the sand. The persecution is not coming, it's here. And we need to cry out to God to deliver us, because the answer is not violence, the answer is not vitriol, the answer is not testosterone Christianity, where we're going to walk around and be all manly and all that. It's to speak the truth in love and to cry out, Almighty God, then we need you to deliver us. We need you to bring our name back in. Because, by the way, whatever they're saying about David, and it looks like what they're saying about David, right in verse 3, O Lord, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me. If it was the time, remember, when he was against Saul, and then Saul was always saying, oh, David's trying to ruin the kingdom, and I'm the anointed, and David is not, and he's trying to kill Saul. Wasn't it David who actually spared the life of Saul? David has said, no, you are my king, Saul. That he respected Saul's son, and he respected the family of Saul. And whenever Saul repented, he received that. Isn't that what David does? Isn't it true, beloved, that God-fearing, Bible-believing, neighbor-loving Christians are the best citizens Canada can ever have? And yet, was our God mentioned anywhere on Canada Day? Were God's people mentioned anywhere on Canada Day? No, of course not. And then you see where David's at. Because once you are slandered, once somebody says something about you, especially if it's not true, how do you defend yourself? How do you get other people to believe that you didn't do it? Any of us who have been slandered or persecuted for the sake of doing the right thing. Yeah, but there's probably some truth to it. Or there's always two sides to the story. And always it comes. We need God to look at us and deliver us. To stand with us. And then that goes back that we need to trust Him. And we also need then to take stock of our lives. That's what David does. He takes a moral inventory. And he goes from the beginning of his life and he goes to where he's at now. And what have I done? And you know, it can't just be every night, our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and then move on. Have you ever just taken some time and really sat down with a piece of paper and a pen maybe, or your computer or whatever, and then just, what have I done? What about that kid that I bullied in kindergarten? What about that person if deep down, if you really push them out, I actually hate them? What about the way I think about the government? We can disagree, but we still must honor Trudeau and Ford and all of them. They are God's servants. And we must have respect for them. And we must speak well of them wherever that's possible. That we are to live at peace as much as possible. Do we? And then when we go through that inventory and we bring our cares and we bring our thoughts and our sins to God, that we believe that we are forgiven, that where we have really fallen short, we confess and bring change. But then there's also those times where you go, you know what they're saying about me isn't true. You see, that's one of the things. If all of these people are saying something about the church and the church has actually begun to cave, well, maybe we are too harsh on homosexuality. Maybe we are too harsh on abortion. Maybe there needs to be a little room here and a little room there. Maybe we really shouldn't, you know, anybody who doesn't believe that Genesis 1 is really true, maybe we should just give in a little here because we don't want to come off as being harsh because that's not love. And now we've lost. If you have spoken the truth in love, stand up and stand for it. Stand for your God and call on Him. Don't let the devil rattle you. Don't let your enemies rattle your sense of who you are. But David also swears on oath, Lord, if I have done those things, then bring me down. Let them have their retribution, then I've got it coming. But if not, Lord God, please deliver me. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's in Romans, isn't it? But it's originally in Proverbs. That's how the Old Testament believer was to live, and so are you and me. Our relationship to the enemy is to love them, feed them, teach them, hold on to them, and guide them. And then if you go on in Romans chapter 12, God says, vengeance is mine, it belongs to me. And that whole idea of heaping burning coals on his head is simply every time they reject you, every time they persecute us, every time they come after our brothers and sisters around the world, they're heaping up the wrath of God upon them. So far, so good. We could probably live with the first part then of Psalm 7. But then what about verse 6? Arise, O Lord, or actually awake, O Lord, in your anger. Awake to me, Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. But establish the just. My defense is in God who saves the upright. My God is a just God. He's angry with the wicked every day. He does not turn back. He will sharpen his sword, bend the bow, light the arrows up, and fire in them. He will destroy them. What about that? Awake, O Lord, and destroy them. And again, I know this is very unpopular. It doesn't matter what I think, and it really doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says, and God doesn't love everyone. God doesn't save everyone. The Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, we were all once children of wrath, hated by God, and being hated. That's who we were. We were with them. We were the enemies of Almighty God. We were the enemies of David. And of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We would have stood there with the enemies, mauling our Lord and Savior, who's dying there on the cross. Standing there with those Pharisees who malign the name of Jesus. Just like they did to Naboth, just like they did to David, just like they did to Joseph. Oh, how they did it to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His response was, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he also says, I'm going to come again. And I am going to judge. And there's that verse 7. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. Father in heaven, we want you to get back on your throne. Show them that you are God. Not just us, but all peoples of the earth. That when they see your wrath and judgment, they might repent. They might return. You know, every time that God sent the prophets, he said, the prophet says, if you keep doing this, sinning, if you keep doing that, breaking the covenant, this isn't a threat. God is going to destroy you. That's what the covenant is about. And that's true whether you live in the covenant of grace or whether you live outside of the covenant of grace. Outside of God and His mercy, there's no hope. Now, do we believe that? Or have we softened it? Do we really believe that we need God to go up on high and bring His judgment? Now, I know you're hearing right away destruction of the wicked. But look at what Psalm 7 is really getting at. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. He conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and he dug it out. His trouble shall return upon him. What are we praying for? We're praying for God to show the world that wickedness is wicked. We're not necessarily praying for the destruction of the regime or the person or the group of people themselves as their mindset, as their hearts. We want them to change. And we want God to show them that wickedness cannot abound, that it is not blessed. We want everyone to see that God is God and His law is right and good and true, and everything He does is just. Father in heaven, we don't want those people in China, in prison, who love you, to be in prison anymore. Put an end to it. And whatever you need to do, Father, put an end to it. Now, if that means bringing down a communist regime, do it. If that means bringing down a communist regime because the Holy Spirit came and converted them all, fantastic. But destroy the power of the persecuting wicked. Destroy the power of a persecuting Islamic nation. Destroy the power of a secular, humanistic, elite intelligence that goes against your people and brings havoc and brokenness to our society. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Bring an end to all of those regimes, all of those nations, all of those forces that stand against you. And you see, really, what you're praying again is those first two Psalms. And I keep going to that because they're so helpful. Scripture interprets Scripture. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God, let the wicked know that they can't stand before you, because we want them to be saved. Deliver us and show your power. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords away from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And the anointed holds them in derision. Yes, Jesus Christ hung and suffered on the cross. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus Christ was in the grave for 3 days. Did the enemy win? No, up from the grave He arose. And in that moment, the heel of Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, came down on the head of that snake, and it's being crushed. Satan knows he's done. He knows that he is finished. And he's going to take everyone with his demons and his minions with him. He hates the world, and the world doesn't even know it. And then the world hates us and doesn't even know that that's not love. And then we pray, Lord God, bring an end to that. And then David takes on that beautiful poetic language of a warrior, of dipping the arrow either in pitch or in oil and lighting it, so that when it goes, it not only hits the target, but now it burns everything in its path. Of taking the shield and protecting your people while in the meantime he's going after the enemy. It's a terrible thing, we read in the New Testament in Hebrews, to fall into the hands of an angry God. God be God. Lord, be the great I am. Father in heaven, let everyone in Canada, let everyone in the world know your greatness and your power. Put an end to wickedness. Please, Lord, that we may do the work you have called us to do. But if you don't do that quickly, let us stand up. Let us stand secure. Let us go forward. Let us not be afraid to speak the truth in love. And the truth is, God damns unrepentant sinners. The truth is, God saves His people through faith. And then we cry out, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because look at the predicament of sin. And again, this is where Psalm 7 comes right back at us. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. He conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. You think of those words of James. He wrote, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their evil desire and enticed. And after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, are you only reading there hell and eternal death? Because you live in the culture of death. Whether it's at the beginning of life, well, this child is inconvenient because I wasn't careful with my body at the first place. Or at the end of life, well, I don't want to suffer anymore. Or, well, these people's quality of life isn't any good. So we'll just end life on both ends. And in the middle, you have all these hopeless young people committing suicide or attempting suicide because they have no hope. There's nothing for them. And then all around it, people are looking for comfort, something to make them feel, something to make them feel better about their miserable, awful, lonely lives. Perverse sexuality, drinking, drugging, entertainment, hurting, cutting, and on it goes. How bad was Sodom and Gomorrah? How bad was it in the days before Noah? How bad is our world, beloved? Look at the world you live in. God is answering your prayer for retribution. Why do you think Canadian society is in the mess that it's in? Do you think it's just because they're making bad economic decisions that the economy go bad? It's because our morality is shot. And we're greedy. And we don't want more. And we don't want to work. And then the government says, okay, we'll make it so that you don't have to. We live in a world where God is answering your prayers. And we're crumbling. And we don't like it. The sad thing is too many of us didn't like it when finally our rights got infringed upon. But it had been going on for a long time. I was reading this week about abortion and the church's response to abortion. But if we really believe that abortion is an attack on life as God has made it, are we doing enough? And what I mean by that is righteous indignation. Are we bombarding our government with letters? Are we going into our neighborhoods? Here's another way. But you know, there's so much to do. And the church has to make a budget. And then there's Christian education. And then there's our lives. We kind of want it both. And now we're seeing that we've been affected by that decay and brokenness ourselves, don't we? It is really a remarkable thing. His troubles shall return on his own head. There are 200 incurable STDs. But we don't hear about that too much anymore. COVID comes and the world is paralyzed in the grips of fear. Because what would happen if we die? Because they know what's going to happen when they die. So they grasp and hold on to life because it would be better to live a living death than to die living. But what of us? Can we bring this hope? Can we tell them, look at your life, people without God. Are you really happy? Are you really living life to the fullest? Is there really joy in you? Don't you see that when you make these decisions, brokenness is coming? Psalm 7 describes your world. And describes us in the world. But don't lose heart. You get right back to the beginning. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. To the end, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, not mine. Lord God, don't save me because I need this. Do this for your righteousness because it's the right thing to do, God. And I will sing the praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And it's happening in prisons. And it's happening behind barbed wire. And it's happening in bombed out subways. And it's happening in our church today. You can't stop the voice of praise. You can't stop the voice of Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, as for you and your homes, we will serve the Lord. Don't lose heart. This is a new challenge. You and I cannot meet the challenge, but God will, and He already has. And He will use you and me to do it. Don't lose heart. But also then, beloved, let's reevaluate. What is important to us? What do we spend most of our time doing? Who do we really live for? the glory and the righteousness of Almighty God, that if in fact we need to go through a recession or a depression, if we need to go through a war, then we will do so and we will pick up our cross and we will follow. Now we understand. Of course they're coming after us. Of course they're going to persecute us. Of course they're going to slander us. Oh Lord, deliver us. We cry out to you, our Father who art in heaven, because you can. We cry out because we know the power and the wonder of Jesus Christ who died and lives again. We know that as they persecuted and mauled him, he lives again. And so even if they do so to us, we will live again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. And hear the words of Jesus. I'll be with you, even to the close of the age. It is so. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, you are a great and glorious God. And we thank you that you are always with us. Protect us now and hold us up. If any here are going to head out into the week of being persecuted, laughed at, maligned or mauled, if, Father in heaven, we will now be subject to laws that go against you, then let us do so without fear and without trembling. And let us go forward, Father, with boldness into the week ahead. We need you now. We need, Father, to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Because we are still in awe, Father, because we know not why your wondrous grace to us you have made known. We know, Father in heaven, that whatever good or ill may be reserved for us, of weary ways or golden days, before your face I see that we have believed. We are persuaded that you are able to keep that which you have committed to us against that day. We thank you, Father, for the great truth of the perseverance of the saints. Go with us and be with us until Jesus Christ comes again. Send him quickly. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Breathe on us, breath of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.